This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And you need to get closer to the mic again.
The mic needs to get closer to me.
Oh, well, we'll figure it out. Anyway.
I didn't land on the mic. The mic landed on me.
Well, if you mess with it too much, it will.
It did land on me a couple weeks ago.
Anyway, hey guys, what's up? We're back.
There we go.
Got it?
That's a little better.
Yeah, and you can raise it up too if you need it to be just a little higher.
Raise me up.
Squeeze the handle there.
If I adjust the mic, though, yeah. I'm closer.
There you go. Awesome. Hey.
And I sang a little bit of Josh Groban, too.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
He's funny when he shows up on stuff. Like, he's a good actor.
I'm a fan of his acting and his singing, so.
I wouldn't say I'm not a fan of his singing. I just don't know.
It was one of those ones where you hear a song and you're like, I like that song.
I'm sure,
I wonder who that is. And I remember it was the movie Troy.
Okay.
He sang the song at the end of the movie.
Ew.
And I was like, oh, that guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I started finding his stuff online, and I was like, oh, okay.
Very cool.
And then I started finding his CDs at, like, half-price books for, like, you know, $4 or $5. And I'm like, oh.
Works for you.
Yeah.
I've
never been to a Groban concert.
No.
I don't think I've ever been to a concert.
You've never been to a concert?
I don't think so. Maybe when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing that really stands out. I would like to go to a Groban concert. I'd like to go to a Michael Bublé concert.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to the Dave Matthews concert, but that just happened.
That just happened.
Yeah, I know. I missed it. I somehow missed it.
Wait, are you? You like Dave?
I like Dave Matthews.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You should have gone. Angel would have gone with you. She loves Dave Matthews.
And then that might be all the like people that I would want to see. Huey Lewis in the News, if they did something.
They were in Mason a few years ago for the 4th of July thing.
I am not going to that. So. That kind of crap.
But
I'll pay for the seats where I get to sit underneath the canopy in case it rains. I'm a snob that way.
The only band that I wanted, there's two bands I want to see that I haven't seen. Weezer.
Okay.
Just because I love Weezer.
Yeah.
And then Flogging Molly. And that's just because, one, I love Flogging Molly. But two, every time they're coming here, I'm gone.
Okay.
Or like the case of our honeymoon, they were here the day after we left.
Okay.
And then they were there the day after we left. It was like,
that's a weird.
Yeah, it was really strange.
Because
really
weird tours.
Well, they were playing here and then they were at the House of Blues in downtown Disney.
Oh, in California?
Yeah. So it was very interesting.
I mean, there's people where like if somebody said, hey, do you want to go see this person? And I'd be like, I like that person. I'll go see them.
Concerts
I'd like
are fun.
To see Daft Punk.
Oh, yeah. I bet that'd be a good show.
Yeah. Like, you know, that would be an interesting one to see because it's a light show with their music. You know, some people I'm like, I'd rather just watch it at home.
You should go to Laser Floyd.
I wish I would have seen when he came here with the Hans Zimmer concert.
Oh, yeah.
I would have went to that. You know,
I'm surprised like you haven't gone to something like with the Pops or something like that.
That's the only things I think I've ever been to is stuff like that. And like that's few and far between. Yeah. That was when I was younger and, you know, wasn't as tired all the time and didn't have an erratic schedule.
Yeah.
And I went to a few things like that. And then, I never went to anything at Riverbend. I don't think I've ever been to Riverbend except to like pick my mom up when she worked at Riverbend.
Okay.
And
so
I could hear the music.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you lived there, right there by you. Well,
I mean,
picking her up.
Like,
but
when I was picking her
but
up.
But even from where you lived on Eastern, you lived off Eastern Avenue, right?
No, we weren't that close.
Okay. I guess it's
there
not
was
that
an
close.
Airport
yeah.
between us.
Yeah, Lunkin right there. Yeah.
So, but like, if there was like concerts, there used to be concerts at Lunkin, like the, like Pops type stuff.
Yeah.
And you could hear that. And but like, that was air shows. We got to watch air shows for free because literally they would fly past our house and that. So.
My first concert was the Grateful Dead when I was two, so I don't really remember that.
Yeah, I was going to say you wouldn't.
But there were pictures. And then the first concert I really remember was at Timberwolf.
Pictures of what's his name holding you?
No, there was a picture of me in the field with all the spinners, though, spinning.
Oh, okay.
So, but then the first concert I really remember was Timberwolf at Kings Island.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It was Starship.
Okay.
And Cutting Crew.
Wow.
Remember that band? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they opened for Starship. And then, like, the first concert that I really, really remember was Jimmy Buffett.
But I was always more of a movie fan than
music.
Music. I became more of a music fan later on.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's like, you know, concerts here are like 100 degrees because there's, you know, 5 to 10,000 people. And that. So I'm pretty sure, and I don't remember what it was, but I seen something down at Riverfront in the
Riverfront Stadium or
no, the Coliseum.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, I seen it in the Coliseum, but I don't remember what it was. It was when I was a kid.
Cool.
And that, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Besides that, I don't remember much.
I don't know. I saw Tom Petty a couple times. I mean, the
like
Counting
Reds
Crows
games,
a bunch.
Yeah.
They used to do stuff after
the
Reds games.
There were people at Reds games.
I don't think they do that anymore with Major League Baseball just in general because the games take forever.
Well, right. Yeah.
So anyway, all right. So
Flogging Molly will not be near. Oh, well. No. Hey, there you go. You can go to Flogging Molly in Chicago on September 7th. September 7th. Cleveland.
I might be. 4th. Well, I actually might be in Chicago on August 31st.
They'll be in
that
Asbury
Saturday,
Park, New Jersey.
For the All Out wrestling show, the AEW All Out.
Oh,
show.
But okay.
That's not for sure yet.
They're going to be in Asbury.
Drive up, watch the wrestling, and drive back. Anyway, cool. Well, we are going to talk about Spider-Man today.
Okay.
Far From Home.
That was a tour.
That was a tour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What did you think of this movie?
First of all, spoilers.
Oh, yeah, spoilers. We can't really talk about this without spoilers.
Yeah.
So,
I enjoyed this movie. Spider-Verse is still my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Sure.
But this was an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is as good as Homecoming. I mean, I don't think that it's worse. I don't have any real complaints about it.
I like this more than Homecoming. But yeah. I've only seen it once. Yeah. So I want to see it. Well, they just got back from California, so we're definitely going to go see it this weekend. But I will say, I feel like he did more Spider-Manning than has ever been done in a movie.
Like more just the Spider-Man?
The Spider-Man type of stuff. Like at the big end battle.
Oh, right.
When
he's
that sort of stuff. Even when he
pull his mask off and try to convince the villain that he wasn't a villain and all.
Even like when he was Night Monkey, he was being very Spider-Man-y.
Right.
Which, that was hilarious, by the way. The whole Night Monkey thing.
Nefarious Night Monkey.
Yeah. I love this cast. I love all these kids that are in this movie. I use kids loosely.
Well, I like that they gave Peter's friends more opportunity to be interactive in the movie than the last one.
Yeah.
The last one was focused on Peter, Ned, and Liz.
Yeah.
And this one is like, you know, they used the talent of everybody that they had.
I thought that kid that plays Flash was great in this one. He was so freaking good. Betty Brant was really good.
Yep.
I don't remember that actress's name now. And then the kid
she was the one that played Ryan Gosling's daughter in The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the kid that was the one who aged up.
Oh, God.
That was funny.
The blip.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a couple. Let's talk about a couple nits before we really get into like the good stuff.
You go ahead and nitpick. I
have tiny little ones. Yeah. One was the fact they called it the blip. I just thought that was weird. Two, it was kind of confusing.
For the people who disappeared, it was a blip.
Did Happy blip away?
I don't think so.
Because he said it was his blip beard that he got it since he'd been back.
Well, he grew it.
So
while
did,
he was...
Yeah, so like, but like he, I don't know, that dialogue was a little confusing. And then May blipped away.
Yeah, May blipped.
So that was just like, I don't know, I would have liked to have just a little bit more of that. And then...
You want a more of the blip story?
Just a little bit. Just a little more.
That'll be on the special features.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then Ned's wig bothers me.
Is he bald on purpose?
I don't know if he's bald on purpose or not. And he looks, he's like, I mean, he's awesome. Like
why wouldn't, if he wants to be bald, why wouldn't they just write that into the movie that he just decided to shave his head?
Right.
Like, that's what he
like the ladies
to,
like it.
Like, I blipped, and then when I came back, that's what I decided to do. So
I blipped
little,
and my hair didn't come back.
Yeah, well, hey, there you go. The kid who plays Flash Thompson,
yeah,
is named Tony Revolori.
Okay.
Betty Brant is Angori Rice.
Okay.
And then Brad, was that his name?
Yeah.
Is Remy High.
Okay.
And then Mr. Harrington.
That's Martin Starr.
Right. But he was in another Marvel movie as Mr. Harrington, was he?
He was in Homecoming. Spider-Man? I don't know if he was in another one.
Pretty sure.
But he was in Freaks and Geeks.
Now I'm going.
He's on Silicon Valley.
Well, yeah, he was one of the geeks in Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. That's where when I seen him in the first movie, I was like, I recognize that guy, but.
And I liked J.B. Smoove.
He played Ironborn number 2 in an episode of Game of Thrones this year.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, he was on the, they were on the Euron ship. It was a bunch of the guys from It's Always Sunny you know.
They all got burnt up.
Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny was the guy who got stabbed in the eye with the arrow.
Awesome.
So.
I'm pretty sure that, like, either there was a story that he was in another Marvel movie, or
I don't know.
Finding him on any of those.
Maybe it might be uncredited somewhere, but yeah, like those two little things. Oh,
he played a computer nerd.
Oh yeah,
but they're saying it's Mr. Harrington now.
Ah, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Well, so
which would totally make sense because that's 10 years difference,
right?
Yeah, so he would have became a teacher,
and then you know, kind of that makes sense kind of with this movie, too, because they brought back so many bit player characters from the previous Iron Man movies.
From pretty much, like, a bunch of different stuff, yeah.
Lots of stuff, but it was nice to see Peter Billingsley back, to be honest.
Peter Billingsley.
He was the guy with the mustache who was running the board. Ralphie from...
That was Peter Billingsley?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So... Because, you know, he produced Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, he had that small role where... But that was really cool, though, how they used those actual characters.
Well, that was just smart writing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, my whole thing was, how are you going to do Mysterio and make it where he is a villain, but you don't know that he's a villain?
Yeah.
And then when they reveal in the, you know, in that bar that he is who he is and what they've been doing, I'm like... This is total freaking genius.
It's
the way that they came up with each person had a talent that made Mysterio what he was.
Right.
I'm like, this is genius.
So let's just talk about that scene.
Yeah.
Because you knew the quote unquote heel turn was coming.
Well, you
right?
knew, yeah.
And like, and if you didn't know, I imagine this was like one of the best
reveals.
If you were
a comic book fan, you know that Mysterio is a villain already.
Right.
If you're not a comic book fan, Mysterio looks like a villain.
Right. So. So the whole time, you know, again, like, wrestling fan here, the whole time when the people started like pixelating away from the thing, one, did you expect that at that point that he was?
I was expecting something because of him giving him the.
With
the
glasses.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to happen right there, though. Edith, even in Death,
which
I'm the
Hero.
Which
I thought was awesome because that was my grandma's name. Aww. I was like, how cool is it that Tony Stark picks these really older names?
Well, it was an acronym.
It was still like one of those things where it's like, it's a woman's name.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an older name. It's like, what's with Tony and the older name?
But all I was thinking when that was happening was Jim Ross, the... old wrestling commentator.
Yeah.
Oh my God, King.
Yeah.
He hit him with the chair. Like, it was like such like,
but you're like, what the?
It was so great. Like, I almost stood up and cheered. I was like so excited.
I literally was sitting there in the theater when it happened going, ah, this is it. It's like this. And then when they started showing like people not disappearing, I'm like,
right,
what's going on? And then it's like, they go into the whole, you know, soliloquy, villain soliloquy. And I'm like, this is freaking genius. I'm like, you brought back people that like you wouldn't even recognize.
Absolutely. Yeah. Peter Billingsley. Yeah. So, but like the whole thing where he was like, you know, they were cheering Tony Stark ironically, which was hilarious. And you have to imagine this is kind of in line with the whole thing with the Vulture and Damage Control from Homecoming.
Yeah.
Where they were kind of anti-Tony Stark people.
Well, right, yeah.
And then now you have the people who Stark Industries literally screwed over.
Yeah.
Literally, just screwed over.
Right.
And now, I don't know, it was very, very, very inventive. And the way that John Watts did that scene was fun and terrifying and awesome. And, like, your heart just broke for Peter because you knew, like, he was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And here it was the exact wrong thing to do.
Well, the whole time I'm going, kid, you're falling for a trick.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm like, you're just a kid, too. So. I'm like, you know, it's like Tony trusted you. But you're still just a kid. You don't know people like he knew people. Like Tony was very arrogant. Tony was very, self-centered. But Tony could figure out who was a good guy and who was a bad guy pretty easily.
He judged people pretty quickly. Now, let me rephrase that. He didn't judge people. He sized people up pretty quickly.
Well, yeah.
So, because he wasn't really, he didn't get real judgy until, you know, the Sokovia Accords.
I think, like, yeah, that's, but that was a necessity.
Yep. Anyway, the way this movie opened was hilarious with the charity event with May and having Peter out there as Spider-Man and, you know, the whole thing. And then he's in the back and he's trying to piece together what's going on between May and Happy.
Yeah. That's, you know, fun.
that was just, I love that little undertone.
The comedy needed, I said this is a nice, like, what do they call it, aperitif,
palate cleanser,
Endgame,
yeah,
because Endgame was very heavy.
Oh yeah,
very heavy.
So,
and that, but you know, I enjoyed the idea of a multiverse, even though, like,
well, Kevin Feige's come out and has said there is a multiverse, but, you know, so
we haven't seen that yet. So
I thought one interesting thing is, like, even with the toys and stuff, it was like Molten Man and Hydro Man. And like, you know, they were kind of playing it up that these were those characters. And I thought that was a great choice because the elemental characters
were the elemental villains.
Right. But that the elemental characters were just, you know,
cool effects. I mean, you know,
special effects.
Molten Man looked really cool.
Yeah.
Hydro Man was just, you know,
just water.
Hydro Man, because this effect has been around long enough, Hydro Man looked like the Mummy.
Well, I kept thinking that. Like, you know, the whole scene from the Mummy and...
Anything you see where there's a giant water cloud, sand cloud, cloud, looks like the scene from the Mummy.
Yeah.
That's how good that effect was.
Right.
I mean, it's all industrial.
And they've just refined it. That's the beauty of it.
It's just industrial line of magic doing those kind of effects for this movie. And it's like, we just go to the old file and buff it up a little bit.
Let's take out the browns, throw in some blues, little green, voila.
Yeah.
Replace the desert with Venice, and
so
there you go.
What did you think of Zendaya as Mary Jane in this one? She had a lot more to do.
She did. I really liked her. I like her as an actress. I liked her in The Greatest Showman. I liked her in The Last Spider-Man. We were just talking before we went on air about Euphoria.
Yeah.
I really like her on that show. And it was really interesting to watch Spider-Man on Thursday and then start watching Euphoria on Friday.
Because she plays a totally different character.
Is it totally different? Because, like tonally, she's got that, like, deadpan delivery that she just does so well, and the sarcasm. And it's like, this is MJ making some bad choices, not, you know.
Not MJ.
But at the same time, it's a totally different character. So, like, and I'm not looking at it like, oh, this is Zendaya. It's like, oh, wow, that's real.
Yeah.
No, I really liked her. I liked how she figured it out.
But didn't figure it out. She's like, I was 67% sure. And that's like, okay, at least you didn't go, I knew it the whole time.
I knew it. But
because when he denied it,
It
was like, she literally was like, oh, you're not?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm not. And she was like, okay, you're not. And then sure enough, you know.
But he was.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, cool.
Anyway. Yeah.
I didn't mind like that, the whole romance part of it, because I'm like, it wasn't forced.
No,
it
and their chemistry is great.
ever evolving.
Because they were both super awkward.
Well, yeah.
And they did a great job with the weird, like, natural awkward pauses that you have there. Yeah. Like, even their first kiss, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was an awkward peck. And then, like, they went in for an awkward kiss. And, you know, it was what it needed to be.
Did you have any other nitpicks?
No, it was really just those two things. I mean, I love this movie. I'm super excited to go see it again.
Yeah. It's a really good movie.
I'm curious
to watch, like, if they put the behind-the-scenes features on this one or not.
Yeah.
And I want to see some of the stuff with the effects with Molten Man and that, because I thought you see him, but it's so fast that you don't get to see a lot of him. So.
And then Sandman down in Mexico. Yeah. Night Monkey was great. And, like, the whole, like, him wearing the jester mask in Venice was a smart touch.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, how am I going to do this? Oh, well, here's a mask. Him ghosting Nick Fury was hilarious.
Samuel L. Jackson had fun in this movie.
Oh,
you could tell.
You definitely can tell. So did Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
She had a lot of fun too. As Maria Hill. And we can talk about the twist with that here in a little bit, but I want to say, like, so one of the things we've talked about is the whole idea that they were going to put the MCU shoulders on Brie Larson and Carol Danvers.
And they're kind of not now?
I don't think they are. I think this is what we've talked about this several times. Well, that they needed, like, Tom Holland is the character slash actor to put the responsibility for this on.
Yeah.
Just teach him to keep his mouth shut about, you know, spoilers and stuff like that. But he's a kid. He'll learn.
Well, the thing is, we still, like, because they said they're taking a small break from the movies.
Right. No more this year.
No more this year. We're going to get the Falcon show.
Yeah. So Falcon and Bucky, WandaVision, and
but the Falcon
Loki.
Show is going to be him as Cap.
Okay.
I mean, it has to be.
I hope so.
They shouldn't backtrack at this point.
Yeah.
And obviously they can't because
well,
the blip
I don't know
happened,
how
so.
They would backtrack
right, yeah,
with that
blip
one
happened
anyway.
And they were gone. Yeah. So, but I mean, it would be smart to put it on his shoulders too.
Yeah.
Anthony Mackie.
Oh, yeah.
That Cap character put on Spider-Man's shoulder because he's kind of the replacement for Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll see what else happens.
And so during the one trailer that I watched,
they're in production for Black Panther 2 and Doctor Strange 2 right now.
I do not know.
I think they are.
So
I think that's why we got, when he was suggesting other heroes.
Yeah.
We got the Doctor Strange is busy.
Right.
Because I think that's what they're like, you know, didn't want to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like that Nick Fury was like, when he said Captain Marvel, don't invoke her name.
Don't you invoke that name.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that was a weird thing for him to say until we got to the end.
Yeah, that I had a Peter tingle when that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's like, why did he say that?
The Peter
that
tingle.
What?
The Peter tingle.
The Peter tingle was hilarious. And
the Peter tingle was more funny when Jon Favreau was doing it.
Well,
than
that
when
the
Marissa
whole
Tomei was doing.
Well,
it.
the whole setup for that was for Jon Favreau to say it.
Yeah, I know.
That was
but
the
it
beauty
was just,
of it.
You know.
So
it was fun. That was fun.
Yeah. The scene with Jon and Tom on the plane.
The emotional moment in the movie
when
that
it got,
needed
when,
to happen. That you kept wondering, when is he going to have a breakdown? Because you know it's going to happen
right.
soon. And then it didn't happen until he got his ass kicked.
The scene leading up to that.
The Mysterio
scene was as note perfect of a comic
that
book
literally
fight.
Was out of a comic book.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That literally was like, I'm like sitting there going, and you know, I'm not a big Spider-Man fan, but I've read enough. And I've read like the Mysterio Daredevil story.
Well, and so.
And I'm like, damn, I'm like, they literally got Mysterio right in this moment. Like, to the point that this feels like it just came out of a comic book.
So Mysterio is one of my fave Spider-Man villains, right? Like, Vulture is probably up there. Mysterio. I always liked Sandman.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was really curious how they were going to do this. Because they, again, I only watched one preview.
Right.
And it was like, oh, he's from another dimension. It's like, okay, he's not from another dimension. Like, I thought he was going to be like some sort of opportunist in a different way.
Right.
Like he was a movie effects guy who was just trying to like make a movie and things were going to go wrong.
Right.
This was so much better than that.
Well, right. To set him up as, you know, he built the thing that we see in Civil War at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The barf. And
to have it where, yeah, the barf. What the hell?
I loved how he was so mad about that. He was so incredibly butthurt about called the barf.
I'm like, you know, they didn't like go much into his past before that.
No.
So I'm like, yeah, he's an effects guy in a way. And it's like, you know, they fit that in there. And then to have him get everybody else that had been kind of like screwed over at one point or another by Stark Industries. Just, not Stark himself.
Not necessarily Tony. But
I mean, well, you know, Peter Billingsley's character gets ripped by Obadiah before he dies. And it's like, you know,
Tony Stark built this in a cave.
Yeah. Well, that's Tony Stark. That's not them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that stuff was cool. The effects when he fought him and, you know, got hit by a train.
Yeah.
It's like that was cool because it was like that was literally like a comic book moment.
Yep. And he was hurt. That was the other thing. I was always a little worried that Spider-Man was a little too OP for this universe.
Yeah.
Just a little too overpowered.
Because he can lift a car and that kind of stuff.
No, because I felt like he was so underpowered in the Sam Raimi ones.
Right. Yeah.
And then the Andrew Garfield ones.
But he does stop a train. But, so, I mean, he's not like.
No, and he's not like. I'm not saying like he was like, oh my God, this guy's a weakling.
Well, here's the thing. Here's
the Marvel movies have made certain characters really OP.
Yeah.
And it's been weird.
Like who?
Like Iron Man.
He's just a suit.
Yeah, but suit's
like.
But you can
make those suits like. You can do anything with a suit.
Anyway, Captain Marvel's a little OP. Thor's a little OP. You know, and again.
Thor?
Yeah, I feel like Thor's just a tiny smidge. Like, I love Thor. I love it. I know.
Thor's a god.
So, again, it's tiny nits.
He
is
the lightning.
Yeah. Well.
He is the lightning. The thing that they haven't done in this movie that they kind of make the error of doing in the other ones was explaining the spider that bites him.
Right.
I mean, literally, like, Amazing Spider-Man explains it down to the breakdown
of
everything. And you see in Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, what spiders that was a mix of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we haven't had that explained to us in this, and I really don't want it.
I don't want that.
I do want to know what happened to Uncle Ben. Like, if it's the same story or if they come up with something else.
So,
because I felt like, as much as his emotional outburst with Tony dying, it's like there should have been something mentioned about Uncle Ben. Like he's lost the...
Well, and he had Ben's suitcase.
Right. But I'm like, you know, he's lost the two father figures in his life now. And they don't even mention Uncle Ben when he's like grieving Tony. And it's like, you know, I would have liked to just had a moment with her, with May and that mentioning Ben.
So John Watts said that Ben existed.
Well, we know Ben existed.
But it's not necessarily the same. And it may not be... He may not be dead.
Okay. Then,
I really hope that's just him talking out of his butt.
That I would be like...
Because I don't feel like Kevin Feige
is he an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. then? Or?
Well, they could take what they did with...
What they did with the parents.
The Miles' dad, too, in the... Miles' uncle in the Spider-Man comic.
Oh, make him a villain?
No, I'm sorry, his dad. His dad in the comic.
Yeah.
Was a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So his dad's a police officer in the comic, but he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. That's cool.
So yeah, that's cool. It was really cool.
But they did that with Peter's parents, and when they came back,
right?
You know, in the 90s they came back, and they were supposedly agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something of that nature. And but yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't want them to like. I don't know. Uncle Ben has been one of those deaths that have stuck throughout most of comicdom, and it would be great if they kind of tell the story of what happened to him. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be he was a wrestler, and you know, it could be something.
Oh no, I don't think they should
do
that. But I think like you know, Ben died, but we don't know how Ben died, and I don't think Ben should die the same way. Mm-mm. But I feel like Ben should have died. And that's why Peter feels like he has to be Spider-Man in a way. And then it's just become that, you know, he enjoys it.
Yeah. And now he's got to live up to it from Tony Stark's point of view.
Because he is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And J. Jonah Jameson made sure to
That was awesome.
I'm like, huh, J. Jonah Jameson don't have any hair.
Well, and so it's the whole Alex Jones, right? So he's one of those conspiracy theorist YouTubers.
Yeah.
He's been banned from YouTube and Facebook and stuff now he's like way out there. We have a mutual friend who's a big Alex Jones fan.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
I've never heard of this person before.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like he's on Joe Rogan like has him on his show all the time. So anywho. The fact that it's the dailybugle.net and it's just a crackpot YouTube channel, that it's not even a newspaper.
Right.
I freaking loved
that J. Jonah Jameson probably ran a newspaper that and got laid off.
Yeah, probably.
Tony Stark was the reason.
Yeah. So to get to what the outcome of that is, right? Let's talk about what happened between Peter and Mysterio at the climax of the movie.
Killed another villain.
Did they?
I don't know. That one, I don't know, because I'm like, I think they did, but then I'm like, Peter Billingsley's character, now that I know that's Peter Billingsley, Doc Ock. I'm like, there's your Doc Ock.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm like, he looks like.
He does kind of look like.
He looked like he could do the Doc Ock thing.
Dude, how great would that be?
I think that he set him up.
Hold on. If he's hitting him with the Ock arms, freaking, fragging, like Ralphie.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
But I'm like, I think he set him up perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he died because his ego got ahead
of him.
His
hubris.
And with Edith even warning him.
Yeah.
And he didn't care.
Right.
At that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just became, his hubris became too much.
Yeah. Because when she tells him, you know, you'll be in the line of fire.
Right.
And he's I don't care. So.
But it's literally the ego got ahead of him, whereas like, you know. Vulture knew when he was beat he was beat, and he just, you know, he didn't try and escape,
right?
And then Peter just wrapped him up anyway.
Well,
it's like Vulture was trying to get away because he had a different reason to get away, but like he knew he was defeated when he was defeated. And it's like Quentin Beck did not have any idea that he was defeated. He thought he was going to be the winner.
Yeah. Or that Nick Fury was going to
shoot him.
And that's
why
he
was still doing the video.
Right. He wanted to be the hero.
Because he was going to be the hero no matter what.
So
make Peter Parker look like the villain.
Right.
And Tony Stark.
Right.
To a certain extent.
That was.
Because there, I mean, around the world, Tony Stark is now a deity of some sort.
Yeah. He's the guy.
I mean, you know.
He got it done. He brought everybody back.
Yeah.
So, that was
the Hulk.
Well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hulk snapped his fingers.
So, I mean, well, Tony snapped away the Marauders and.
Well, he saved the planet, but nobody even knew that.
Right.
At the time.
Right.
There's not like a bunch of news reporters were on the Hill filming that entire battle. I mean.
Right. No, there weren't. So the whole. Outing of Peter as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This isn't a one day more situation.
One day more.
When May dies.
Oh, one more day.
One more day. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
When May dies and he goes to Mephisto and like, okay, everybody forgets you're Spider-Man.
Could you snap your fingers and make everybody forget?
So, right. Exactly.
It literally is one of those things where it's like, you know, you look forward to where they're going to go from there with that.
Yeah.
And that, because he literally is like, what?
Cause what the,
like literally like what?
I do like how they ended both movies with a character saying, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And like cutting out. I thought that was a nice little bookend.
Yeah.
So, that was really, really good. The whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
I enjoyed. And I know that they've interviewed Zendaya about this now. I enjoyed watching somebody not liking swinging
right
through the city. Because it's like when they're done and she's like, I don't need to ever do that
again. I'm never doing that again. Never, like, never. And he's like, what are you talking about?
It's like, what? You didn't like that? It's like, no, she didn't like that at all.
Well, and you got to look, too, is the way this Spider-Man swings through the city. It is like
He's with wild.
Reckless abandon.
Yeah, he's wild.
And so I imagine.
Not an adult Peter Parker. This is. I mean, Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, even though he was supposed to be in high school, was an adult.
So,
and by the end of it, he was an adult. And Andrew Garfield's, like, that's the thing. That's what's smart about this. Tom Holland's in his early
20s. He's 22, but he looks like he's 15.
Yeah, he looks like he's still in his teens. Andrew Garfield did not look like he was in his teens at all.
No, neither did Toby.
And Toby did not. Looked younger.
Toby was 30. He probably looked 25.
Yeah.
Right? Andrew Garfield, I have no idea how old that guy is.
I don't know.
So, just because, like, when he was in The Social Network, he looked older than everybody else. But yeah, I think one of the big mistakes with the Amazing Spider-Man was putting him in high school and putting him in college.
So he was born in 1983.
Yeah.
When did The Amazing come out?
2012.
So, yeah. Yeah, he was almost 30.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that's the thing though. That's where like Sony.
Because he had facial hair growing in.
So Sony doing all that on their own.
Yeah.
Like this is why they need Marvel's oversight.
Right. You know?
And I really hope. So the movie did opened on Tuesday for like the holiday weekend part. It did 185.
Yeah. So Tobey Maguire was 25.
Yeah. Okay.
26 because he was born in 75.
Okay.
So he's my age.
Okay.
And that. Which means he could play Uncle Ben now.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's totally who I want. Like, if you do anything with Uncle Ben, I would totally bring Tobey
Maguire. Because he's so super serious and, like, takes himself so seriously, he might do that.
Well, he would do it because he liked playing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Nobody liked Spider-Man 3, including Tobey Maguire, but, you know.
So it did 185 for, like, the first week.
Okay.
Friday to Sunday was 85.
Okay.
The Friday to Sunday was 93. So it did really well. It's gonna make, you know, $800 or $900 million.
Yeah, it's not gonna do in game numbers. But.
No, but it wasn't expected to.
Oh.
How would you have felt about this movie not coming out 4th of July weekend and not coming out until February?
February next year?
Yeah.
I think that would have been a mistake.
You think that'd have been too long?
I think if they would have said this movie wasn't coming out until like September, I would have been like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's a breath between Endgame and that. But I'm like, I felt like they were smart enough to know that Endgame was so heavy on story and so heavy on killing people.
Yeah.
That they needed something to, you know, give a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't going to be a Disney Plus show or anything.
Right.
But I mean, you know. I think it was a good idea. July 4th, I don't care.
Yeah. I'm just asking. Like I lucked out and
had my schedule switched around. So I went on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And was
you texted us.
Like
and
15 people in the theater.
You were like, I'm getting ready to sit down.
And
I'm
had to work on a Monday and had Wednesday off. And I'm like, I can go see Spider-Man.
Yeah. Cause you were worried when you were going
to
get to go
see it. I was
like
thinking man, I'm not going to see this until next week at that point because I worked July 4th. I worked July 5th. And I'm like, and I'm not going on a Saturday because that's when the theater's really full.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'll go see this. There was a 9:45 show. And I'm like, walked in. I was the only one when I walked in. And I'm like, am I going to be the only one in this theater?
That'd be cool.
And I was like, you know, about 15 people walked in and everybody was quiet. So I probably was the loudest laughing.
I was definitely the loudest laughing.
Yeah, I laughed a few times and I was like, oh, am I the only one laughing?
I think I'm the only one who got that joke.
Yeah.
The lady next to me was laughing as well, but then she got up like halfway through and never came back.
Hmm.
It was really strange. So
she had the diarrhea.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe she took a different seat. It's possible.
But her Edith glasses took her away.
Oh, yeah,
so,
there you go.
She had to go save the world.
Yeah.
But
that's
right.
Happened to me a couple times in the movies.
You've had to go save the world?
Yep.
So,
do you want to go to the last stinger?
Well, I want to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. in this movie first.
I don't feel like it's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, good. Because that's where I was going with this.
They never said they were S.H.I.E.L.D.
Whatever the clandestine in,
Control. Because he calls it Control at the end of Infinity War.
Is that a comic thing?
And I don't know.
Because I looked it up and I couldn't find it.
I don't think so. But I'm like, is Control just a new way of calling it S.H.I.E.L.D. or are they working for another like resource.
Okay, so you know how we have like Nick Fury proper.
Yeah.
The white colonel.
Yeah.
With
Colonel
the
Fury.
With the Infinity Serum and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. Then we have Nick Fury Jr. now in the main 616.
Is he Nick Fury's son for real?
He's black. He looks
like
Sam Jackson.
He is the Sam Jackson,
but he's not the ultimate Nick Fury. So I don't know if he came from because
I thought that he was the ultimate Nick Fury when they did the combination from Secret War.
Well, that might be it. But but he doesn't always work for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
So like he's gone off
Fury. Yeah.
See,
that happened
at
one point, too.
And so it was like, okay, what is this organization? And two,
he called it Control at least once.
Where did they get all... Well, but Control is also like a term for like the, you know, the operating center.
Yeah.
So...
Contact Control. Yeah. But, you know, it's like you don't have to call it S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Because it's not S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, because we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going on, which... God, that show is so good this year. I know you haven't.
Yeah, but...
It's been so much fun.
But they don't even exist at this point. Like,
right.
Nobody knows they exist,
right.
Even though they're there and that. So, I mean, but Nick Fury wouldn't have went back to S.H.I.E.L.D. Because the S.H.I.E.L.D. that he ran doesn't exist anymore.
No, it was Hydra. That's what he was running.
Well, he wasn't running Hydra.
No. But the guy that they...
in the place the people that Nick Fury needed.
Right.
Coulson and a few others. Maria Hill and that.
The guy that they got to drive the bus was awesome.
Yeah.
The agent who gave him the Night Monkey costume was hilarious. Like, she's just like, take your clothes off.
Yeah.
And it's like,
take your clothes off.
Like, he's a 15-year-old kid, and he's got this, like, super attractive blonde super agent telling him to take his clothes off. Of course he's going to have second thoughts about that and be weird and awkward.
Well, especially because he's an awkward kid, too. I mean,
so,
you know, when he, like, is like, I'll just go to the bathroom.
Yep.
And she's like, nope. You're not going to the bathroom. You're doing it right here.
I did like the Night Monkey costume, though. I thought that was really cool. Or the stealth suit, as they were calling it.
Yeah.
One of the things that's like, okay, when they put it on, it's like he's definitely getting shot at some point because he had the body armor.
Right.
They kind of called their shot with that
Dimitri.
One. Dimitri. Yeah, Dimitri was great. So
Dimitri's reaction to...
Martin
Starr and J.B. Smoove was like just deadpan. Deadpan.
What about J.B. Smoove being the science teacher and blaming everything on witches?
Yes.
And then when he had the Edith glasses on and he was like looking at everybody and the book he wrote about witches came up was great. God, they did such a good job with all the little things, right?
That actor's name, sorry.
Oh, Dimitri.
Numan Akar.
Okay.
He's been on, I didn't know, he's in Aladdin.
Okay.
But he was on Homeland.
Oh, cool.
And he was on Jack Ryan.
Nice.
So, and he was in Prison Break.
What was this character's name in Prison Break?
Abu Ramal.
Was it the most recent Prison Break?
2017.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't watch that season. That was the revival season that was...
Well, yeah, because he was probably playing a terrorist of some sort because he has the look and he can, you know, and I don't know.
But I
have issues with that.
I love the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. like thing in this, and you know when
I just call him Control because that's what he said, and you know I'm gonna go with that for now.
When Happy helped Fury figure it out,
because now I'm beginning to feel like Control might be Nick Fury.
Yeah,
and that those two that disappear.
What if it's S.W.O.R.D.?
Well, no, the two that disappear at the end of Infinity War are who they reveal they are at the end, that it's the Skrulls.
Talos
and his partner.
So okay,
which is great because she called him out. called him. You didn't have any idea what was going on.
No.
He's like, no, I didn't have any idea.
I had no clue. So okay, this is the big reveal. Nick Fury and Maria Hill are Skrulls.
Yes.
So are they Skrulls since 1990?
No.
Or are they Skrulls since the blip?
So I feel
and
like,
Sam Jackson's like, I screw it, I need to get off the planet, I need a break from all this crap.
I feel like that what happens is that the Sam Jackson, the Nick Fury and Maria Hill that disappear in the blip are Nick Fury and Maria Hill.
Right.
I feel like control is something that they've been setting up,
mm-hmm.
and that somebody else is working with them, obviously.
Obviously.
You know. But I feel like after Tony dies, Steve pretty much dies, Natasha,
mm-hmm.
like everybody he worked with,
right.
everybody who he pretty much directly worked with has died. And it's like that on top of an intergalactic war happened
right.
on Earth.
Right.
And he didn't know what the hell to do.
Well, he wasn't there.
Well, he wasn't there at first. And it's like he would have never seen that coming.
No.
And it was the matter of, I have these friends that can shapeshift,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I have a friend who can fly through space mm-hmm. without any problem. And that, you know, we're best friends. And that, but I think he figured out that he had to get off the planet
yeah.
to start working that end of it.
He has to
and
work
he was on
galactically, not just
plus
locally.
He's on vacation.
Yeah.
He needed a break is pretty much
oh,
what
yeah.
it was. I feel like Maria Hill was probably somewhere in
she's
that
somewhere
ship.
On that ship, yeah.
Yeah. And that they're setting up S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah.
I think the S.W.O.R.D. is actually going to be something that we'll see.
I would love for, like, if they're going cosmic, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of the rumor.
Well, I feel like that with Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, here's the thing that I've thought about, because I've had time enough to think about Endgame. James Gunn already was working on a script
mm-hmm.
when Endgame was happening.
Right.
Thor's in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
Like, he probably wrote that. That's why Thor left with
right.
the Guardians and that. And I'm like, you know, okay. I think that because everybody was like, where did Gamora go?
Right.
Nick Fury recruited her.
Ooh.
She's working with Nick Fury now.
That'd be interesting.
Because she knows the threat levels of certain yeah. beings in the universe that, you know, she
and
would have encountered with Thanos.
She's not a touchy-feely Gamora
right.
like what we've kind of ended
yeah.
up.
She's,
like, and,
she's a warrior.
Know,
she's the warrior
yeah,
Gamora.
Gamora warrior princess.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, that'd be perfect if that was, you know, that's me.
Yeah. No, that's a good
stories,
idea.
But I mean,
I
like,
think that's really
you know,
cool. So this kind of flips the head or flips the idea on its head that there's going to be a secret invasion.
Instead, it's the Kree Skrull Wars coming.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's
because they
like,
even said there's a Kree cell or whatever on Earth.
We know that from
right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, you know, I think this is a good way of bringing S.H.I.E.L.D. into it a little bit.
So
without having the crossover of the show, but like bringing Coulson back into the mix,
I think I think what they need to do as
if
far
he
as
is
like
Coulson or whatever he is, you know, but you know, yeah, you can't say anything and don't need to.
So bringing
that actor,
I think bringing
back into
either
the
bringing Clark Gregg back into the movies would be cool. But I think bringing Daisy Quake
yeah.
over and bringing Fitzsimmons over
yeah.
would be a really cool way to handle the Kree.
Right.
Because they're
because
the ones
the
who have had the most.
Yeah, they've dealt
so,
with the Kree.
And with Daisy being inhuman. And Chloe Bennett has grown so much as an actor since that first season.
It would be cool to see her interact with some
right,
of the
because
the
she's a powerhouse.
That, yeah,
so,
that we've grown
like,
to love
to,
on the
to be honest, of like all the characters that they brought through the rifts
yeah.
to fight. Like, I'm really surprised they didn't bring her.
Yeah.
She's the one out of all the TV properties
that
who definitely should have been there.
Through, yeah. That would have been cool.
Did you see the meme? It was the Defenders and they're in the hallway and Matt is looking back at them. It's it was like a screen grab and he's like, it's going to open any minute now.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that one.
It was pretty funny, but
no, I mean, I didn't see them as coming in
no.
their power level is not
no they're not
that
they're
level.
Street level
yeah they're
so.
Street level
but characters. Daisy on the other hand can crack a planet.
Would have been cool if Ghost Rider would have shown up in that battle.
That would have been really
yeah.
cool too. Yeah, I guess Robbie Reyes would have been the other
yeah.
one. So
Robbie and Quake
yeah
Quake and Ghost Rider showing up would have been like kind of cool.
It would have been cool if they showed up together.
Yeah,
so
like
but neither one of them blipped.
Well,
that we know of.
Well,
so
that's the thing that I haven't watched S.H.I.E.L.D. to see if they've even mentioned that.
They,
so
they haven't.
No. See,
so.
That's the thing. That's where I'm like, that's the shame of their writers is that they don't pay attention to the movies that much.
Is it? Well,
it's Jeff Loeb and that group.
I think
don't want to acknowledge the movies because they haven't acknowledged where
right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. takes place and what time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they couldn't acknowledge anything with the Netflix shows us up that they happened after Avengers.
After Avengers, yeah.
Yeah.
So
and I'm
think,
like, that's the thing where I that's my nitpick.
I think there's a lack of trust in the people who run those shows from Marvel Studios because they're under.
That's the reason. That's another reason why their shows aren't.
Because they're under Ike Perlmutter. Yeah. They're not under Alan Horn, Alan Davis, whatever, and Kevin.
Alan Davis.
So Alan Horn.
Alan Horn.
Yeah. But.
But I'm just like, you know what? In the end, you're all part of the same property. You're all owned by Disney.
Right.
And
that's like, Disney needs to just step in and tell Ike Perlmutter, like, look, you're CEO of Marvel Entertainment in name only.
Yeah.
You don't have any power. You have horrible ideas. You're terribly racist and misogynist.
Yeah.
Like, let us make you a whole bunch of money and go live your life
somewhere.
Go
to Tahiti.
It's a magical place.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway. All right. Out of 10.
8.5. I'm going to go with 8.5. I didn't really have any nitpicks, like just questions more than anything.
I'm going with the mythical 10. I'm kidding.
Yeah, well.
No. I'm going 9.
I'm gonna drop a hammer on that 10.
I'm giving this a 9. Okay. You know, this is, I liked this better than Endgame.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell you what, though, this ain't no gamer.
I mean, Gamer is a solid 12 out of 10.
God, solid 12 poops.
Anyway, so I know we had talked about doing like a Pick Our Own Titans team.
Yeah.
But since you finished Stranger Things, we need to talk about Stranger Things.
Okay.
We definitely, like, not today, but like next week, we definitely need to talk about
this
show.
Did you cry? Did it get dusty in here?
It did not.
Okay.
I will say, just spoiler, I actually liked 98% of this season, whereas, you know, I've not been the biggest fan of Stranger Things.
Okay,
so
this was a good season.
Yeah,
anyway. At least they didn't have an erratic X-Men episode.
That was my favorite episode of season
episode.
Two. So anyway,
the reason that was a terrible episode,
it was so from
not
out
that
of left field,
badly written episode. It just knocks the entire season off track.
Well, it's because they were trying to do it was a backdoor pilot to something else. All right.
They should have showed up in this then.
Never mind. Right. We'll talk about this next week. Yeah. But as far as Spider-Man goes, definitely see this movie if you haven't. And like, if you haven't and you've listened to this point,
sorry.
Yeah, like
enjoy
really,
the movie anyways.
Yeah, you will enjoy this movie knowing
I said
what happened.
Spoiler at the beginning.
So Jake Gyllenhaal was fantastic.
I got a nitpick. And
okay,
it's not a nitpick about the movie. It's a nitpick about clickbaiting websites, putting articles up about why Stan Lee was not in this movie.
Because he was dead.
Because he was done. They said that the last movie he was going to do his cameo for was Endgame.
Right.
And they knew he was sick.
Right.
And at, so, what was it? Comicbook.com, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clickbait.
This is why comicbook.com is a, if you like that page on Facebook, I'm just going to call them out. Go unlike that page. It's a crap
website.
I don't think
I like that page. I think they just, I seen an article and I was like.
Newsarama.
What?
Newsarama, IGN, Bleeding Cool, like for the most part.
Yeah.
Those are the three that I look at for comic book news anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to San Diego Comic-Con news.
Yeah. It's coming up.
More of the toys than the comic books, but hey.
So. David went to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
So he sent me a picture.
I would
hope
so. He lives in California. I would hope that and he's like not that far from Anaheim, right?
He's in Burbank.
Right.
So
yeah, I would hope that he went.
I'm hoping.
At this point, they're still not letting
hoping,
the season pass in.
Well, he
so
doesn't have a season
people
pass,
are complaining about it's not busy enough.
Right.
And I'm like, why would you complain
about
it not being busy
so
enough?
They're running out of lightsaber hilts. They're running out of kyber crystals.
Well,
so that's why they're doing it the way they're doing it.
That's because too many people trying to be fanboys going in there buying lightsabers. And it's like, nah.
I'm hoping
droid parts are the one that cracked me up.
Well, they're running out of those,
they're
too.
They're running out of droid parts.
So I'm hoping there's a package on its way.
Oh, like he got you something?
Yeah, because I had said if you think about it.
Yeah, that's
like,
cool.
So, but yeah.
But my thing was because every year I go down there, I build like $100 worth of little droids.
Yeah.
And one big droid cost $100.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, do I just build one of those or do I just continue building little droids? And I'm like, you know, I don't know.
Well, are they built like the Sphero, like BB-8 and R2 and whatever the other one was.
They're like the ones with the little remote control.
Like the one Haley has.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that was sold in retail stores. Target
and stuff, yeah.
But you get to pick your colors.
Right.
You get to pick if you're doing a BB or an R unit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd go classic R unit. But,
of course.
But I'd do random
color. R unit with a BB head.
And here was the thing that I said, and it was funny because I'm like, man, Disney misses the boat sometimes. Is why didn't they do Iron Man colors?
Yeah.
Why didn't they do, like, you know, stuff with other properties, but not say we right. did this as Iron Man colors?
Like,
but why
Buzz
isn't
Lightyear.
There a,
how cool would an R2 red, unit yeah. Buzz Lightyear be?
Yeah. Like, why isn't there a red and gold BB unit?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't there a green and blue or green and white? Yeah. You know, just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, people would freak out. And, you know, you don't say anything about it. You just show the track with all the pieces coming along. And, hey, that looks like Buzz Lightyear's colors.
Wait, is that Woody's boot?
Yeah, like, wait a minute.
Why is there a snake sticking out of that boot?
Why is there a snake in that BB unit? Yeah, it's like, why didn't you just, like, I said there should have been a Tron one.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah, I said, why wouldn't, like, at that point you have the opportunity to use all your properties that have robots in it or
Disney, you can
sci-fi.
Have this one. Make it happen.
Yeah, but like I said, Vincent from Black Hole, like they could have done a Vincent colored R2.
That would have been awesome.
And I'm like, man, you missed it.
Yep.
Disney, if you decide to use that, you can send me one. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. On that note,
we're out of here.
Have a good day, night, evening, weekend, whenever you're listening to this.
Day, night, evening, weekend.
Yeah, whenever. I think I covered it all.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week to talk about Stranger Things. And then we're at the Ohio Toy and Comic Show.
So that'll be the next week.
No, that'll be the week after because that'll be the week I'm on vacation.
Right.
So anyway.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. On that note, we'll talk to you guys later.
Stay amazing.
The DFS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.